November, actually, some of these games play. Anyway, that's about it for today's show. The Cuppet Joe Radio Show has been produced by the Head On Radio Network, the great Bob Kincaid, working the boards today. He gave Agnes the day off, which is good, or at least the morning off, so she could relax and sleep in for a little bit. The Cuppet Joe Radio Show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. Until tomorrow. Oh, we got Jeff Allen Wolf coming up on most of your head-on radio networks. Until tomorrow, this is Joe Vecchio from the Cup of Joe Radio Show saying, hey, hey, get back to work.
Border attacks resume between the 100 Al-Qaeda-inspired terrorists and Lebanese forces. 29 soldiers have been killed as well as 20 terrorists. Over 100 civilians have died during the fighting. Israel today says no Palestinian militant would be spared following the death of an Israeli motorist last night who was struck by a Hamas rocket. Yesterday, Israeli airstrikes killed 4 Palestinian militants. Israel and Hamas have been trading rocket fire back and forth for almost a week now. In London, British prosecutors have asked Moscow to extradite a former KGB agent who now heads a security company in Russia to stand trial for the radiation poisoning of Kremlin critic and former KGB officer Alexander Litvinenko. Russian president and former head of the KGB, Vladimir Putin, has said he would not extradite any Russian citizen charged in the case. In Afghanistan, NATO and U.S. officials say coalition forces must boost anti-drug raids in their battle against the Taliban. Afghanistan produces 90% of the world's heroin supply, and officials say much of the profit from the region's poppy fields funds Islamic militants. This year's poppy crop is expected to be a record-breaking one. In Baghdad, a car bomb exploded in a crowded marketplace this morning, killing at least 25. 60 were wounded. Also this morning, an Iraqi family was shot to death when gunmen erected a fake police checkpoint north of Baghdad. In New York, a Florida doctor is facing 30 years in prison for volunteering to treat injured Al-Qaeda fighters so they could return to battle against coalition forces in Iraq. He was also convicted yesterday. 3 of his friends have also been found guilty of supporting terrorists. In Tokyo, a Japanese official announced Australia, the U.S., and Japan are considering development of a joint missile system to shield the region from weapons fired from North Korea and China. Representatives from all three countries will discuss the plans later this year. In the Congo, Mai Mai militia fighters have attacked sites in Africa's oldest national park, killing 1 wildlife officer and wounding 3 others. 13 park employees were taken hostage. The militia says if the government retaliates, they will slaughter the entire population of endangered mountain gorillas. And New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson has officially announced his candidacy for the Democratic presidential primary. This is the Quality News Network.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
Argentinian scientists say their tests show Viagra may help reduce jet lag and the sleep adjustment problems of night shift workers. The drug seems to work best if given in low dosage. Viagra is produced by Pfizer, the world's largest drug maker. In the Denver Zoo, a monkey has died of bubonic plague, as have squirrels and a rabbit on the facility's grounds. Colorado health authorities say the chances of humans contracting the flea-borne disease are slim, but warnings have been issued. A blood testing kit goes on sale next month to allow owners of mixed-breed dogs to use DNA to find out the specific combination of breeds in their mutts. Veterinarians say the test could help alert owners to the medical needs of their pets. T-Mobile today issues the first U.S. cell phone that includes Microsoft's Windows Mobile. The $300 T-Mobile Wing offers email, documents, and internet browsing. Google last night launched an addition to its Trends service. The search engine will provide a daily list of the top 100 topics its users access. Apollo Group, the for-profit education provider which owns the University of Phoenix, posted a 24% drop in quarterly earnings on revenues of nearly $609 million. Home improvement chain Lowe's cited the housing slump for a 12% decrease in quarterly profit. The nation's second-largest house and garden chain reported revenues of $12.2 billion. Light sweet crude is trading at $66.18 a barrel, and the Dow Jones is up 4 points right now. The NASDAQ is up one. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
This is a top to, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board.
Oh.
11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
and then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
Hey, hey! Good day, everybody. Welcome aboard Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. John Fox coming to you, as usual, live from Sydney, Australia. And it's not a green show today. I warn you, it's not a green show today. It's all about Iraq. And why is it all about Iraq? Well, there was a very, very fascinating interview and piece on the 7:30 report at the ABC tonight. Australian military lawyer Colonel Mike Kelly, who has served in some of the world's most dangerous locations, says the country's incompetent leadership is what has driven him to enter politics as one of the Labour Party's star recruits. This guy gave up his commission last week, and what this man has to say about the Australian government's handling of Iraq policy and the way that it refused to put any pressure on the United States government over multiple issues in the execution of this war. This is some absolutely outrageous stuff. I'm going to play you the whole report here from the 7:30 report, and Nick Grimm is the reporter from the package, and the introduction is from Kerry O'Brien, the host. And not only does he make the accusation, and the thing that you have to understand is that Colonel Mike Kelly was considered the most important Australian in the coalition. Paul Bremer reckons he's just a top-notch professional. Not that I take Bremer's word for anything. However,
you know, this guy is well respected across the globe for what he does and what he has seen and what he tried to warn the Australian government about, and what they turned a blind eye to is atrocious. And he states that John Howard was given fair warning by Mr. Kelly himself that the Australian Wheat Board was funneling all that money into Saddam's coffers as we were gearing up for this war. Now, John Howard has played, you know, distance games and I don't recall games and I didn't know games. Well, this might not exactly be the case. And not only that, months before all the photos from Abu Ghraib came out, this man was reporting back to the Australian government, and the Australian government refused to put any pressure on the United States whatsoever. Now, the right wing is going to come out and slam this guy. This guy has served honorably under both Labor and Liberal governments. He does not strike me as a partisan type of a guy. However, he is now pre-selected to run against Joe Hockey, who is the really, really pathetic guy I've been talking about recently, who handles the industrial relations portfolio, and he's absolutely pathetic. He's a complete amateur. And I find this interesting. This is now the fourth kind of high-profile star candidate that Labor has put up for this election. They now have two ABC broadcasters and now two former military officials, high-ranking military officials who both have served in Iraq. This could prove to be very, very interesting. And on top of all that, John Howard has come out to his own party saying that they are in deep trouble. And not only will they probably lose in the next election, they probably will be annihilated. Those are his own words. And I'm amazed that this has come out of his mouth. This is a guy that never shows weakness anywhere. And he has even said that he may be part of the problem. He continues to try to minimize it by saying, well, you know, we've been in power so long, it's an obvious time for the people to be looking for a change. And he said, no, Johnny. That might be part of it, but the reality is that the nation is tired of your hubris and tired of you being a lapdog to George W. Bush. And that's all he has been a lapdog. You know, and now that Tony Blair's going, Johnny Howard is he's poodle number one, don't you know? Now, I'm going to stretch to our first break because this audio that I've got for you is a bit long. It's probably going to take two segments to get through it all, but I just couldn't see editing it down. All the information is too important and the context is too important, and even though it's audio from a TV report, I don't think very much is lost, and I may break in here and there to either clarify or just kind of generally explode. But after the piece was run, they had the Minister for Foreign Affairs on, and he just, you know, started going down the talking points of, well, why do we have to talk about stuff that already happened? Let's talk about the future. Let's talk. It's kind of a waste of time to go and rehash all that old stuff now, isn't it? And this, and Colonel Kelly, in the report, says he thought getting rid of Saddam Hussein in itself was a good idea. However, what happened in Iraq and the chaos that has ensued was obvious that it was going to happen. And he accuses Rumsfeld as basically being criminally negligent in the way that he executed things. So stick around, folks. This is going to be interesting. And the video is available at the ABC. There's links on today's show post. And I would like you all to send this around, because this also impacts George W. Bush, as far as I'm concerned. And this is, you know, I think you'll find this very interesting. So stick around, folks. We've got, oh, this is going to be fun. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. We will return with the 7:30 Report audio right after this.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
President Bush isn't listening to us.
It's time to end the war.
Congress passed a plan to end it
and bring our troops home.
But the president vetoed it.
We want Congress to know
we are with you. Don't back down to President Bush.
Send him the same bill again and again.
We the people will stand with you, because stopping a president who believes he can do no wrong
takes people with courage to do what's right.
I'm John Edwards, and I approve this message.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde Wally and Doopie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II, that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop, right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. I had to just wait for that, you know, groove to kick in before I could start talking, but that's just me. I'm a music nut. But other than that, I'm nuts about journalism like this. Just sit back, listen, prepare to be outraged. This isn't going to really tell you a whole lot that you don't know already. A few things. However, it's where it's coming from. So from this evening's, only just 2 hours ago, the 7:30 report on the abc.net.au, 7:30 report. Here we go. This report on Colonel Mike Kelly. Roll it, Bob.
He's a veteran of some of the modern world's biggest and bloodiest hellholes. Australian military lawyer Colonel Mike Kelly has served in Somalia, Bosnia, East Timor, and most recently Iraq, where one senior American advisor in Baghdad described him as, quote, easily the most important Australian in the coalition effort, unquote. He's been at or near the centre of key events in Iraq immediately post-war, even having to deal directly with the defiant Saddam Hussein. Having left the army at the end of last week, Mike Kelly is free for the first time to talk about his experiences in Iraq and, as he tells it, the incompetent leadership that has driven him to enter politics as the Labor candidate in the important marginal New South Wales Liberal seat of Eden Monaro, south of Sydney. Colonel Kelly's critique of the coalition's post-war planning in Iraq and what he says was a lack of interest post-war by Australia is blistering, even though it does now come from a Labor candidate. And he speaks for the first time publicly about early warnings back to Canberra of the prisoner abuses at the notorious Abu Ghraib prison and also about the AWB kickbacks to Saddam Hussein. Colonel Kelly is the second senior military recruit to Labor's ranks. The first was SAS veteran Major Peter Tinley, who's regarded as having played a prominent strategic role for Australia in the lead-up to the Iraq invasion. Shortly I'll discuss Colonel Kelly's criticisms with Defence Minister Brendan Nelson, but first, this report from Nick Grimm.
As he ends a 20-year military career, Colonel Mike Kelly now wants to lift the fog of war hanging over Iraq.
It's the frustration and the sadness of the casualties that were avoidable that is the thing that bothers me. These poor young, you know, men and women with limbs missing, etc., in terrible states, you know, and just, you know, that sort of suffering and that cost, that wasn't, you know, that was very frustrating because I knew that we could have avoided a lot of that.
Mike Kelly has seen up close the horror shrouded by war's smoke and fury, and he believes the war in Iraq has been comprehensively bungled.
Actually pour kerosene on the problem, and I think that's really the situation we've had in Iraq. We've actually made the international security situation worse for the way the operation has been conducted.
As any good soldier knows, it's a risky strategy to stick one's head above the trenches. But that's exactly what Labor's star recruit for the federal seat of Eden Monaro is about to do.
I'm sure people will come after me with a hatchet, given what's at stake. I've always tried to tell it straight in whatever situation or circumstance I've been in.
But could Australians simply dismiss what you're saying now as simply an expression of your political bias?
Yeah, I think there's definitely the potential there for people to see now a different slant on what I have to say, that it will be coloured by party politics. But really, I'm getting into this because of my concerns about the security issue.
I wouldn't expect a candidate from the Labor Party to be saying anything else than some sort of critical comments about Iraq and AWB, etc. I mean, that's presumably the reason why Kevin Rudd handpicked Colonel Kelly to be put into Eden Monaro.
A military lawyer, Mike Kelly is highly regarded internationally as a leading expert on the laws of occupation and peacemaking. His expertise saw him assigned to frontline duties in world hotspots like East Timor, Bosnia and Somalia. What's more, his former boss in Iraq, Ambassador Paul Bremer, gives him a ringing endorsement.
I would hire him to do just about anything for me. He's a very high-quality person. But I take no position on between the parties in Australia. That's not my business. But I have great respect for Mike as a wonderful soldier, statesman, lawyer. He certainly served the coalition and he served Australia very well in Iraq.
Many people have criticized the war in Iraq. So what makes Mike Kelly's assessment different? Well, few Australians are aware of it, but during 2003 and 2004, Mike Kelly was arguably the most senior placed Australian in the Coalition of the Willing.
You know, he worked on a number of our major legal initiatives. In particular, he was very instrumental in helping set up the Central Criminal Court.
Paul Bremer also entrusted Mike Kelly with the responsibility of ensuring Saddam Hussein and his cronies were brought to justice.
What was it like to sit down with this man?
Personally, I felt that getting rid of Saddam Hussein in itself was a good thing. Very interesting, you know, I felt very strongly that while I was sitting there, I had effectively in the room with me, all of his victims and all of my coalition colleagues who'd worked to sort of bring about this step in the process of bringing this man to justice.
So in your view, where did it all start going wrong for the coalition in Baghdad?
We were set up for failure to begin with. I think that probably the initial one, the most important, was the failure in planning.
Or at least the failure to take heed of the planning that had been done.
We nutted out exactly what needed to be done. We worked through a checklist that I presented to them of having to worry about stopping looting and protecting and preserving the infrastructure and looking after the standing up of the security, public security aspects. But then Rumsfeld came in and overruled that concept and basically threw it out the window, and that was where things really started to go wrong. He just didn't accept military advice on a number of levels, and he had some very strange conceptions of how we could do business in Iran.
I guess the reason I don't use the phrase guerrilla war is because there isn't one, and it would be a misunderstanding and a miscommunication to you and to the people of the country and the world.
According to Mike Kelly, chief among the coalition's failures was the mass sackings of Iraqi soldiers and civil servants, the so-called de-Ba'athification of Iraq. It was meant to bring about regime change, but it also encouraged hundreds of thousands of unemployed and disaffected Iraqis to take up arms against the coalition.
Look, the disbanding of the Iraqi army was a really tragic mistake. At the time, we knew it immediately. You had a huge disgruntled mass of organised people who started demonstrating, and you know, my own vehicle got caught up in one of their demonstrations. I only just managed to escape by firing a warning shot. So they were very disgruntled.
Many observers have blamed US Ambassador Paul Bremer for causing that chaos, but he shunts responsibility to the Iraqis who implemented his de-Ba'athification policy.
The policy was right. The mistake was that I turned the implementation over to Iraqi politicians instead of Iraqi judges. But I was there. I didn't think we had enough troops at any point during the time I was there. And by not having enough troops there for the post-war phase, we gave the impression that we were, in fact, the reality, that we were not prepared to provide the most basic function of government, which is security for our citizens. You may remember the looting that went on unchecked right after the fall of Baghdad.
Really after the combat phase, the maneuver phase, if you like, there was a distinct coming down of the shutters back in Canberra. We just didn't do any strategic thinking or analysis of our own.
In fact, Mike Kelly says the Howard government's attitude was made very clear to him when he was engaged in pre-war planning in Washington.
I was advised very strongly and phoned in the middle of the night in Washington to make it very clear that Australia had no interest in discussing the post-conflict or peace and stabilisation phase, that I was to give no indication that we had would make any commitment to that process or were interested in any way. So,
who made that right call? There for a second.
Well,
Bob,
I was advised through General Cosgrove.
All right. Are you hearing what he's saying? Here, you know, he says, I was advised very strongly and phoned in the middle of the night in Washington to make it very clear that Australia had no interest in discussing the post-conflict or peace and stabilization phase. No interest? What are you, you know... And Howard wonders why the Australian people have had it with him, that you're going to just blindly follow into as part of a coalition of the willing into an unjustified conflict. If that weren't bad enough, you're not going to listen to the... to the people that know what they're doing on the ground, the military leaders. Is this sounding familiar? Does this sound familiar to anybody? You know, it just... You know... What did Bruce and I used to refer to him as? The axis of iniquity? I mean, this is ridiculous. Absolutely insane. And so here they're saying, who made the call? And they say that it was General Cosgrove. Pick it up from there, Bob.
Or interested in any way. So
who made that call?
Well, I was advised through General Cosgrove that that was the government's position, and I was to make that very clear.
We asked General Peter Cosgrove to respond to those comments, but he wasn't available for an interview. However, his spokesman told us in this email that General Cosgrove recalls the late-night conversation, though not in quite the same terms as Mike Kelly. Specifically, Peter Cosgrove denies he told Colonel Kelly that Australia had no interest in taking an active role in stabilising Iraq. Rather, he says he instructed Mike Kelly to refrain from discussing those issues because they were still under consideration.
But there was a distinct lack of interest and analysis going on back in Canberra about the situation in Iraq, so we weren't really being a good ally.
But Mike Kelly says there was worse to come when he was later assigned a key role in investigating the oil for food kickback scandal.
I was quite outraged when I did discover, because if you look at the $300 million poured into the war chest of the regime we were about to send our soldiers into battle with, to me was just morally outrageous. And how that could have been allowed to happen was something that really shocked me. In another time, something like that might have been called treason.
In early 2004, long before the scandal broke, Mike Kelly was sending reports home warning Canberra, quote, the jig's up for AWB. But he heard nothing in return.
I was surprised that I never received any inquiries from Canberra about, you know, what was going on and what information was emerging from that.
But perhaps the most damaging aspect of Mike Kelly's allegations for the Howard government may be his dramatic new information about when the government knew about prisoner abuse in Iraq's notorious Abu Ghraib prison.
But I did report the problems we were having, and no pressure was being brought to bear either from Washington or Canberra or anywhere else to deal with those concerns.
In mid-2004, a Senate inquiry investigated concerns of a cover-up within government. Former Defence Minister Senator Robert Hill saying the first the government knew about the scandal was in January of that year.
When the public interest was aroused was when we all saw those photos in May, and we realised that there had been, in some instances, gross abuse.
But what didn't emerge at the Senate inquiry was Mike Kelly's claim that throughout 2003, he was keeping Canberra informed with detailed situation reports from Baghdad. In June of that year, Mike Kelly personally visited Abu Ghraib and other detention facilities. He then began raising concerns about the mistreatment of detainees. He also warned Canberra that the disturbing situation had the potential to become a severe embarrassment for the coalition. Remember, this was months before the scandal broke.
Oh, certainly from the earliest times that I was there, there was a lot of information being fed back about the allegations of abuse and reports of abuse and the fact that some abuse was actually happening for sure.
It was, Mike Kelly says, just another example of a consistent pattern of the coalition's refusal to confront the growing problems in Iraq.
If you were sitting in judgment on those who were leading the coalition at that time, what would be your verdict?
Oh, look, you know, if I look at people like Donald Rumsfeld, you know, all I can say is, you know, that verges on criminal negligence, as far as I'm concerned.
What's more, Mike Kelly also accuses the Australian government of being complicit in that criminal negligence.
Well, I believe so, you know, because, you know, we were a part of the coalition and we had a role to play in helping to develop the strategy which we fudged on, you know, and so I think, yeah, there are some questions to be answered there.
Mike Kelly and his wife Shelley are preparing to move into the electorate he wants to represent.
How about that?
Yeah, election history.
Eden Monaro may be a quiet, mainly rural area, but it traditionally occupies a critical role come election time. It's been held by the party forming government since 1972. But sitting member Gary Nann says it's a long way from Baghdad.
I thought it was a bit of an arrogant move by Kevin Rudd, just sort of parachuting somebody in. Nobody in the electorate obviously knew this person, sort of driven a couple of thousand kilometres over the last week, and I can't really find too many people that, you know, really know much about this candidate.
Certainly as Mike Kelly leaves the military, he's conscious that his toughest battle may still be ahead of him.
But people might look at you now and say,
Well, he would say that because he wants to score political points and advance his own career.
Well, I'd say, look, just look at my record. You know, I've always served both governments of all colours faithfully and loyally. Don't have to believe my words, but judge me by my actions.
And I guess he will be judged when the election comes.
You're damn right there, Kerry O'Brien. Okay. Thanks for being patient, because that was a big chunk of audio, and I know it was TV over radio. However, this starts filling in some, it just fills in a bunch of gaps, you know. Who knew what and when did they know it? And why the hell didn't they do anything about it? And you know that Kelly's warnings about Abu Ghraib,
so once again, my dear Johnny, my dear friend, and so once again, you are fighting us all, and when I ask you why, you raise your sticks and cry and I fall. Oh, my friend, how did you...
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweats. Great prices? No sweats. Great looks? No sweats. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. Naja, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Across the night was the moon that stole my slumber. Across the night, I fell in love with faithful sleep.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Talk About here, and sorry about that. Bloody IP. Seemed to be the same time every night. Maybe I have to have a chat with those folks. I was just about to do a really clever segue into today's track of the day, and I won't be able to quite make it up because, well, we lost the roll. But anyway. This package on Colonel Kelly, I reckon, is absolutely just it should be something that turns out to be earth shattering for the Howard government. And I was scanning through looking for what to play for the track of the day, and I just figured that this applied on title alone. No excuses, because that's what the Coalition of the Willing, Mr. Howard, Mr. Blair, Shrubia, they have no excuses for their conduct. This is shocking stuff. And it just shows that they actually didn't care about, you know, fixing up the nation of Iraq. That was never part of the plan. I mean, this guy who would have been a key part of it is told, don't even ask. Designed chaos, maybe? So without further ado, from the Unplugged album, one of my favorite bands, Alice in Chains with No Excuses. Roll it, Bob.
It's alright, there comes a time.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Lane Staley. We miss you. Ah, great song. Great song. What can I say? You know, we knew that this whole thing was, this whole Iraq escapade was an illegal, shameful cock-up. And I mean, this whole thing just reinforces it. You know, not to mention Iraq, you know, Afghanistan. It was in the QNN report at the top of the hour, you know, the poppy crop. You know? There was no poppy crop. And I wonder how many CIA planes are being used to fly the stuff out so that there's really, really good, fresh, strong heroin for people in Sydney and New York. Thanks, George. Another bit of bloody stupidity on your part. You know, the Taliban may be hellish, but you know what? They had that whole thing under control. And now there is more heroin flooding the streets of this world at purity that's never been seen before, at prices never so low. Jackass. But I mean, this is you know, these people profit off of chaos. This is the whole point. This is the entire point. You know, is it Chevron that's involved with the oil for food investigations that's going on in the States? So if the Australians were in the wheat selling part of that whole deal, stuffed $300 million into Saddam's coffers, how much do you reckon Chevron paid to buy the oil? Yeah, I'd like to know whether Bush and Cheney profit off of those poppy crops. I know it sounds extreme, but geez, CIA's made a lot of money off of cocaine over the years. Someone in the chat room says, Walmart, roll back heroin prices. Econosmack! Buy the family pack! Don't worry, after you shoot this stuff up, you won't care how screwed up the planet is! You won't care about anything! Except for getting more of that Econosmack! Extra pure! They don't call Senior Poppy for nothing. Comes from the chat room. Well done. Well done. That's funny. That's damn funny. Someone needs to do a JPEG or, you know, some Photoshop deal on that theme. A new world order. Oh, that made my night. That's an absolute riot. You know, and it is true. It is true. You know, the whole war on drugs thing. I mean, talk about you know, feeding things from both sides. Look, we'll supply the drugs, and then we'll make laws that make them illegal. We'll incarcerate lots of people for useless reasons and support the prison industry. I mean, it's a massive scam. It's a massive scam. Oh, and earlier tonight, to go completely on a tangent, there was a wonderful documentary, I believe it was a German production, dealing with Schaefer, who was one of Hitler's boys, who snuck off to Chile and ran basically a, you know, the Auschwitz didn't close, it just moved to Chile, where they enslaved children, first German children, then Chilean children. And what is it about right-wing fanatical fascists and being kiddie fiddlers? This guy was a known pedophile. And guess what? He was hotwired with the CIA and the U.S. government in Washington. It's fantastic stuff. And, I mean, the place was still running up until the 70s. Or actually, no, 2005. Pardon me. This was still running in 2005. His name was Paul Schaefer, not to be confused with the Letterman musical director. But you know, when they first started going down this road, my good friend Rodrigo sent me an email yesterday saying that I had to watch this. And this guy's, you know, big on the Central American stuff. And as soon as we got to right-wing, fascistic, Nazis, pedophiles, I'm going, what is with these people? These control freaks. And they get them, and they always get themselves in these weird, bizarre, twisted, sexual kind of things. And they involve children. And there's this one guy talking about how many bloody electrodes were attached to him and stuck up him. And this is where Pinochet sent, you know, all those dissidents to be tortured. So it gets closed down there in 2005. They preempt by reopening it in Baghdad. Unbelievable. People from the Chilean government, you know, the current government, you know, just like appalled. You know, and they basically said they're not going to stop with the investigations of what went down until they're able to tell, especially the family members of those who just disappeared, as much as they possibly can, about what happened to their loved ones. Unbelievable. You know, these sick, disgusting, pathetic, warmongering, kitty fiddling, but yet I'm God fearing. Just tyrants. It's I just watching this thing and I'll see if I can find it online somewhere and we'll get it posted, because this is, you know, it's all in subtitles, done with subtitles. You know, so as we call it here in Australia, it's read a movie. But, you know, seriously, you know, anytime any right-wingers really, really get into power and get too much power, they abuse it. Unbelievable. Un-bloody-believable. But like I said, folks, do me a favor. Spread the word on Mark Kelly. And you can find that at abc.net.au/7.30. As in numbers. It's a 7:30 report. And if you subscribe to the podcast, you can actually download the video file to post to your blog. I think we might have to try and do something about that on the Horn blog there. Ninjas, we'll see what we can do. But it's just absolutely, you know, like I said, it's not anything that we didn't really know, aside from the fact that we have someone who was on the ground that saw the lack of planning, the torture, the abuse, and the funneling of money. So that the guy you're about to invade, you're buying him more bullets to shoot at your own boys. This is the part about the Australian wheat board thing that everyone needs to understand, especially here in Australia. The Australian government was looking the other way as we paid for Saddam's bullets to shoot at our own boys. And that's forgiving the whole really, you know, elephant in the room is that we should never have been there in the first place. But it's all like a scam. The whole thing is a scam. A scam for money, a scam for oil, a scam for control, and a scam for chaos. And it's just absolutely unforgivable. They should all hang, every single one of them. Bush, Blair, and Howard. Line up Cheney, Wolfowitz, the lot of them. They should all hang. But with that, we're going to wrap it up, folks. I appreciate you spending the time with me today. Thank you to Bob Kincaid for producing the program today. Thank you to Scott Berry at B1 Louder for the music. Thank you to our mods and our bloggers, the news ninjas who keep everything on the web just happening. Thanks to the carpenters for giving us what we needed to get this whole project started and keeping us running as we stand now. And thanks to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Go over there and do the right thing. Things have been slow this time around, and I'm gonna start being a real pain in the tush over this, because if you dig the horn, you have to support Ben. You have to support Ben. I cannot stress that strong enough. But I won't harp anymore. So, folks, thank you for being with me today. And as we say here on Foxed Up, even when we don't do a green show, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes, eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be. I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. Politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. The three-day battle continues between the Islamic militant group hiding in a Palestinian refugee camp and the Lebanese army. A ceasefire was reached earlier today, but only lasted an hour as gunfire and mortar attacks resumed between the 100 Al-Qaeda-inspired terrorists and Lebanese forces. 29 soldiers have been killed, as well as 20 terrorists. Over 100 civilians have died during the fighting. Israel Today says no Palestinian militant would be spared following the death of an Israeli motorist last night who was struck by a Hamas rocket. Yesterday, Israeli airstrikes killed four Palestinian militants. Israel and Hamas have been trading rocket fire back and forth for almost a week now. In London, British prosecutors have asked Moscow to extradite a former KGB agent who now heads a security company in Russia to stand trial for the radiation poisoning of Kremlin critic and former KGB officer Alexander Litvinenko. Russian president and former head of the KGB, Vladimir Putin, has said he would not extradite any Russian citizen charged in the case. In Afghanistan, NATO and U.S. officials say coalition forces must boost anti-drug raids in their battle against the Taliban. Afghanistan produces 90% of the world's heroin supply, and officials say much of the profit from the region's poppy fields funds Islamic militants. This year's poppy crop is expected to be a record-breaking one. In Baghdad, a car bomb exploded in a crowded marketplace this morning, killing at least 25. 60 were wounded. Also this morning, an Iraqi family was shot to death when gunmen erected a fake police checkpoint north of Baghdad. In New York, a Florida doctor is facing 30 years in prison for volunteering to treat injured Al-Qaeda fighters so they could return to battle against coalition forces in Iraq. He was also convicted yesterday. Three of his friends have also been found guilty of supporting terrorists. In Tokyo, a Japanese official announced Australia, the U.S., and Japan